Manx Radio's update with Dave Moore.
The time is 5 o'clock. You're listening to Manx Radio. I am Dave Moore, and this is Update. Welcome to the programme. Half an hour of the latest news in the Isle of Man, plus sport, business, travel updates, along with the newsmakers in person, coming up. As the bus dispute rumbles on, the matter was raised in this morning's sitting of the House of Keys. We'll hear from both the Department of Infrastructure's Joni Farragher and Unite Union representative Debbie Holzall. And has the island's immigration service scored something of an own goal over visa restrictions in the island's 12-mile fishing zone? That's all coming up in the next 30 minutes. But first of all, the update news headlines with Amy Griffiths. Fast am I.
Manx Utilities has been defending a road closure at Whitehoe while it carries out essential maintenance after it caused significant traffic disruption in Douglas yesterday. It says the work is to replace a large access cover above an underground chamber that must be removed and reinstated in multiple precisely aligned sections with time for the new concrete to cure, meaning a full road closure is essential. The utility provider has apologised for the inconvenience caused. Unite the Union claims it hasn't sat around a table with Bus Vanin or the Department of Infrastructure for weeks amid ongoing driver strikes. In the House of Keys, DOI political member Joni Farragher insisted work is ongoing to find a fair and sustainable solution. Debbie Holzall is the regional officer for Unite on the Isle of Man.
I probably can't remember the last time we sat in a negotiation with them, and it would have been prior to the 10 days continuous action.
Some residents in Peel will be without water for a few hours later. Manx Utilities is carrying out essential water mains diversion works in the Glenfaber Road area from 11 o'clock, and it's due to last for around 4 hours. In motorsport, Davy Todd's appearance at the 2026 TT has been thrown into doubt after breaking his legs at Daytona 200 over the weekend. The three-time TT winner crashed in first qualifying on Friday. He's taken to social media to offer an update to fans.
I can't give you really an ETA of when I'll be back, but I'm trying to be back as soon as possible. But yeah, we're just taking it day by day and trying to get mended as fast as possible.
Turning to international news now, and the Royal Navy warship, the HMS Dragon, has set sail for the Eastern Mediterranean. It's going to bolster British defences in the region as the conflict in Iran and the Gulf states continues to rage. Meanwhile, the US Defence Chief Pete Hegseth warned that today will be the most intense day of American strikes against Iran so far. The Office for Budget Responsibility has also warned that the conflict could mean inflation could end the year closer to 3% than the current forecast of 2%. And the Queen has spoken at an International Women's Day reception. She's warned against what she calls a culture of silence that's hurting women. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with the news in full at 6.
Gurumayu Amy. On to the weather. Cloudy with patchy rain or drizzle at first, turning persistent and heavy at times early this evening, before clearing later on. Strong and at times quite gusty southerly winds. Minimum temperature overnight 6 Celsius. Mostly dry with sunny spells tomorrow, but still feeling quite breezy in the fresh to strong southwest wind. Top temperature of 11 degrees Celsius, turning cloudy overnight into Thursday as the wind backs to the south and increases strong to gale force. Cloudy with outbreaks of rain on Thursday, accompanied by strong to gale force southerly winds. The rain then clears to showers later in the day as the wind begins to ease. However, these showers could turn wintry overnight, particularly on high ground.
Manx Glass and Glazing are now stocking Omnia flush sash frames. See the range at the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The Department of Infrastructure says it's committed to finding a fair and sustainable solution to the ongoing bus dispute that doesn't impact services or fares. Political member for the department, Joni Farragher, responded to an urgent question on the negotiations at this morning's sitting of the House of Keys. She explained what the DOI hopes to achieve.
The department has, of course, to be mindful of retaining services as well as retaining fares at their current levels. But I just want to reassure the member that we are looking to for a fair and sustainable solution going forwards.
Could the Honourable Member for Infrastructure confirm that they have, the Department for Infrastructure have been in face-to-face meetings with MERS and it's not been held over Teams? And also, has any assessment been done of the economic, any impact assessment done on the economic issues that the bus strike could cause, and also the impact on education and whether attendance has fallen? Is the department going to look at that beyond the actual negotiations?
So in terms of your first question, which was around face-to-face meetings, the Honourable Member's first question, sorry, all of the negotiations are taking place via MERS. They've been facilitated. They are proximity meetings. That's quite standard. There's nothing unusual about what's happened. The department has attended all of the meetings. If the Honourable Member has any further questions, because she's looking a bit confused there, I'm happy to answer them. In terms of any assessment of economic issues and the impact on education, that's not something that's been undertaken at the moment, but I'm happy to take that back and look into that. I think it's a very good question. Thank you.
The department put out a press release today, actually, confirming a full service was on offer. In there, some of the language I found quite interesting. It referred to the bus service as being currently subsidised by taxpayers. Does the Honourable Member agree that perhaps the problem here is one of a mindset, of an approach? Whilst what some members in here and what the public expect is a public service, it feels like the department is trying to run bus vanning like it's a profit centre. And actually that fundamental disagreement, that fundamental misunderstanding between all parties is really at the root cause of all these problems.
Member to reply.
Gurumaya Lorida, thanks to the member for that question. I don't actually agree with that. My position is that it's a public service. It is subsidised by the taxpayer to around about 50%, which is completely aligned with it being a public service, and that's what we wish to retain.
That was in the Keys this morning. Meanwhile, Unite the Union claims it hasn't sat around a table with Bus Vanen or the Department of Infrastructure for weeks. Normal services resumed earlier after a second round of strike action by its members in a long-running dispute over the pay and conditions. Debbie Holzall's the regional officer for Unite the Union on the Isle of Man.
This dispute is not about refusing a pay rise. It's about being asked to give up their terms and conditions to receive one. The drivers are committed to resolving this dispute through meaningful negotiations, and that means that we need to sit at a table. I think it's very disingenuous for the department to keep putting out press releases to make reference that we actually are partaking in any negotiation with the employer across the table. We sit within Manx Industrial Relations, and I probably can't remember the last time we sat in a negotiation with them, and it would have been prior to the 10 days continuous action which first started this dispute.
Well, Bus Vanen says the representatives of Bus Vanen have attended all scheduled negotiations and have not imposed any preconditions on participation, and any suggestion that the department made an offer by telephone is incorrect. So where is this miscommunication coming from then?
Well, if they can identify the time, the date, where they sat across the table from myself and our representatives, I will actually fully endorse that comment. But they need to give me clarity on when that was, because as far as I was concerned, we have not sat in any meeting with Bus Vanen, nor DOI.
And one of the other points that's been made within this press release from Bus Vanen is, and I know you mentioned that this isn't for your members purely about pay and that actually the terms and conditions is the priority here, but it does say that another offer to settle the dispute was made on Friday, which would have given an average of £1,180 per year in addition to the annual pay award, which is equivalent to a 7% increase. And then it says modernisation would introduce practices such as monthly pay rather than the current weekly pay and shift rostering a month in advance. So what's your response to that? And is that news to you, I suppose, then?
Yeah, that offer came in very late on Friday night. That was picked up yesterday. It's a contractual variation to change somebody's contract of weekly pay to monthly pay. They cannot get that right at this moment, so there is no appetite at this moment to move or to put that in a pay negotiation. Pay negotiations is very clear. They should not come with an add-on of you relinquish terms and conditions, because every time throughout negotiations going from 2023 they have asked for things to be done, and every time we fulfill our obligation they add more on, and that's where it seems to have been stuck.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The chief executive of the Manx Fish Producers Organisation, David Beard, says the move by the Immigration Service to impose working visa restrictions within the island's 12-mile fishing zone could be disadvantageous for all involved. Yesterday, his Northern Irish counterpart, Dr. Lynn Gilmore, told this programme she and her colleagues were surprised when they were told about the regulations last month.
We discovered a number of weeks ago, just on the 10th of February, that our vessels did not have access to Manx water if those vessels had foreign crew involved. And this really impacts the majority of our nephrops or langoustine fleets and our scallop fleet, as up to 70% of our crew in Northern Ireland are from overseas on two different visa mechanisms that are commonly used. The first one being a transit visa, and secondly, crew on UK skilled worker visas.
The Northern Ireland Fish Producers Organisation, along with a number of political figures in the province, are seeking to resolve this issue with the island's Immigration Service. And it appears they have the backing of their Manx counterparts, as Dr. Beard told Manx Radio.
I'm told yesterday it wasn't new legislation, that it had been in place since 2021. But nobody, apart from, it seems, a few people in immigration, knew it of its existence. So when it was announced in February, and I think that was announced through discussions with the two fish producer organisations in Northern Ireland and our immigration here, we were then told by the Northern Ireland fish producers that this was in place, that there would be people with transit visas or UK skilled worker visas wouldn't be allowed to work in Manx waters. I wasn't surprised in the slightest about the transit visas, because that they should only be for people that are working outside the 12-mile of all jurisdictions. But the UK skilled worker visas, I was very surprised about, because the UK boats have been using them ever since the process came in, and have been fishing these waters ever since then. It was a surprise to everybody.
Are you sympathetic towards the Northern Irish Fish Producers Organisation?
I think that they've done it. I wasn't sympathetic when they were using transit visas only, but when they had to change that to skilled worker visas, which meant that the workers were working under good pay and good conditions rather than how they were under the transit visas, then I thought they'd done a really good job, and I supported that move to go to UK skilled worker visas. So for them now to suddenly find out that they aren't allowed to fish in Manx waters, and a number of the Northern Ireland boats rely very heavily on working in Manx waters, it has been a real shock for them. And I do understand their concern about that, for sure.
This, though, seems like a win for the Isle of Man. Is it?
That's an interesting take. No, I don't think it is. The trouble is that there's two aspects to this. There's immigration and then there's fisheries, okay? And the two are separate. I suppose you could say that on one side that because there'll be less UK boats, because they rely on skilled worker visas, that there'll be more opportunities for the Isle of Man in certain species. That's only true to a certain extent. There's also the aspect that our Isle of Man processors rely to a certain extent on landings from UK vessels, especially queen scallops at this time of year, because there's a small fishery which is available to the south of the island in our 6 to 12 mile, which is fished just by one UK scallop vessel. And that has now can't land to our processors. And that was a product that they were relying on. They've sold, and we will be letting buyers down because there's no other way of catching it except for that boat. So it is going to hurt us. In addition to that, the number of the Northern Ireland and English scallop boats have landed to us for many, many years. I mean, decades. And some of those now can't fish in Manx waters because they have skilled worker visas on board.
I have to squeeze in one very quick question. Sorry to interrupt, because I'm running out of time. If they don't fish here and it's just Isle of Man boats, can the Manx fleet meet supply and demand?
It won't be just Isle of Man boats. There's a number of boats which are still fishing here. There was 31 boats fished last week, of which 21 were Manx and 10 were UK. So it's not a total exclusion. It's just an exclusion for those that have skilled worker visas. If they have Irish or UK fishermen on board, or Max indeed, then they can fish here. But it's anybody that has skilled worker visas on board that won't, that will be excluded. I think that the communication has been poor. If this has been in place since 2021, then it was a surprise to everybody in the industry, including other government departments. So I think it's been handled fairly poorly.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
We'll start down at the airport, and unfortunately the Loganair flight to Liverpool that was due to go at 6 has been cancelled. However, EasyJet's Gatwick is due to leave on time at 20 past 7. In terms of arrivals into Ronald's Way, we have the Aer Lingus Dublin has just landed. The EasyJet flight from Gatwick is due to arrive at 10 to 7. However, both Loganair's Liverpool and London City services have been cancelled. And in terms of the sailings, we know that tonight the departure from Douglas to Heysham has been cancelled, but the Heysham to Douglas Maxman sailing at 1:45 tomorrow morning is due to depart as scheduled.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by
Quayside. Quayside, 664417.
Head to Quayside Tyres and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate.
Quayside.
Ramsey commissioners say the Northern Civic Community site will be temporarily closed to allow a new contractor to take over. And it comes after a couple of years of uncertainty about whether the site would remain open and whether it would still be operated by the local authority. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper joins me now. Emma, how long will the closure last for?
So the local authority confirmed on social media that it will shut from Monday the 23rd of March to allow the outgoing committee time to make necessary preparations. It adds the new contractor will hopefully assume responsibility for the site on the 1st of April after essential work has been carried out. No information has been provided about who the new contractor is or if the 1st of April is a firm reopening date for residents to be able to start using the NCAS again.
How have we got to this situation where a private company has to step in and run a civic community site rather than it being done by the local authority or the government?
Well, in April 2024, Bride commissioners decided to pull out of the NCAS Joint Committee and with it, its share of the funding for the site because it believed it was paying too much in contributions. This led to the committee sending a notice to the Department of Infrastructure stating its plan to stop operating the site the following April. It claimed it had enough in its reserves to remain open for 1 year. As part of this, the committee reduced the opening hours of the site and, most controversially, closed the reuse shed to make room for white electrical goods. The DOI came to an agreement with the Joint Committee and they covered the £67,000 gap left by Bride before announcing it was going to a tender process to find a new operator for the site.
I'm tempted to say, Emma, rubbish, but what do residents in Ramsey do with their waste during the closure?
Well, that is the question on social media at the moment. So I have tried to contact the local authority to ask whether there are agreements in place with other amenity sites or if there'll be any additional provisions in place during bin collection services, but I am yet to hear back about this. Obviously, when we have that information, it will be on the Manx Radio website and social media pages.
Thank you, local Democracy reporter Emma Draper. Now, the Treasury Minister, Chris Thomas, says he's confident only a very small number of Manx residents need help accessing their benefits. As of last week, there were 39 social security cheques belonging to 19 individuals that hadn't been cashed. It comes weeks after the withdrawal of the MyCard payment system, which has seen hundreds of customers having to change the way they receive their money. Mr. Thomas gave an update in the House of Keys.
I'm pleased to be able to advise that as of 5th of March, only 37 of those cheques had not been cashed, with a total value of those uncashed cheques of £2,942.12. Those uncashed cheques were payable to 19 customers, all of whose cases have now been investigated. Approximately half of the uncashed cheques were for child benefit, which explains in part why the total value of uncashed cheques is so low. Treasury officers are satisfied that 10 customers with uncashed cheques either have another person to act on their behalf for Social Security purposes, or as a matter of practice, choose to cash their cheques from time to time and not more regularly. Treasury officers have also established that the remaining 9 customers have all changed the method by which they are paid their benefit or pension to direct credit transfer backs, for instance, since their cheque was issued to them. Treasury officers are contacting those 9 customers to establish whether they still have their cheques and intend to cash them, or they would prefer the cheque to be cancelled and receive payment by backs instead. Moving forward, a report will be created recording details of all benefit and pension cheques issued each month that have not been cashed by customers. That report will help Treasury officers to identify any customers they think might have care and support needs that may be preventing them from cashing their cheque. From January's experience, it seems likely that only a very small number of customers will ever need to be contacted.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
3-time TT winner Davy Todd could miss this year's event following a crash at the Daytona 200 in the United States. He suffered a number of injuries during qualifying last Friday. He's been giving an update to fans online, as Darren Timson reports.
During the crash, Todd suffered a broken femur, tibia, foot and nose. Speaking from a hospital bed in Florida, he told his followers on social media how the incident came about.
First lap of qualifying, ended up getting cleaned out by another rider. In America, you're able to ride it back to the pits, so got the bike back to the pits. It was a bit bent and twisted, but the boys worked at it to get it right again, and we thought the bike was all spot on. Got back out on track for the last 10-15 minutes or something of qualifying. I mean, we did 3 laps, and then unfortunately coming out of turn 2, due to the previous crash, something in the steering jammed, basically to do with the lock stops of the bike, but it jammed and basically turned me straight into the wall. I tried to jump off it, but couldn't really get off it properly in time, so it took me into the wall.
Todd then gave an update on his condition and when he's likely to return to the track.
I can't give you really an ETA when I'll be back, but I'm trying to be back as soon as possible. We're positive now that we're on the mend and just trying to make steps to move forward and get healthy again. I'm lucky I've got Abby with me. She's been looking after me every day since the crash. But yeah, we're just taking it day by day and trying to get mended as fast as possible. Already started standing on the left leg, which I'm allowed to do since the surgery. I'm going to work really hard, already in touch with a lot of good people, and a lot of great people have been helping me and advising me what to do in the coming weeks and months to be as fit as possible as soon as possible. So I'll try to keep you guys updated a little bit more, but just wanted to let everybody know where we're at right now. And hopefully in the coming days we're going to get out of hospital and be able to fly back home, properly start the rehab really. So thanks everybody for your messages and your support. It means a lot, and hopefully we'll be back on the bike soon.
Now, we all know about the closing of airspace around the Middle East, which has caused problems for people not just travelling back from the region, but travelling through it. Manx resident Rebecca Kennedy has been on a family holiday in Thailand and was due to come back over the weekend. She and her son Ethan have been telling Lewis Foster how the conflict in Iran has affected their return to the Isle of Man.
So we had flights rescheduled for the 13th this Friday. They were also cancelled by Qatar Airlines. So it's been quite a worrying time, obviously, you know, seeing that other travellers as well are in the same situation. Just wondering when you're going to get home, really.
Because where was it you were due to fly via?
So we were due to go from Phuket to Doha and then to Manchester.
And we've heard that some travel agencies have been offering assistance. Have you had any assistance from the Isle of Man at all?
So we booked with Perfect Getaways, and they have been absolutely amazing. They have been a lifeline to us really throughout the whole process. They've been in touch with us constantly, trying to rearrange flights. They funded our hotel. I can't really fault them at all. They've been great. And they've actually just got us a flight via China now on Friday to get home. So fingers crossed, we will actually get home.
If I can ask Ethan, how has this whole situation been for you?
Well, when we first went on holiday, I never really thought we'd be trapped here.
And how long have you been out in Thailand for now?
Is it 3-ish weeks?
Yeah,
three weeks, yeah.
Of course, it's a difficult situation. You're hoping to get home slightly later, but how is the mood? Are you still happy where you are?
I mean, we're in a very nice hotel, which was nice of our travel agents, and we're still doing activities and stuff, so yeah.
Time now for sport, brought to you by the Prince Shared. And at the sports desk again this evening is Darren Timson. Fast Am I,
Isle of Man rugby star Bevan Rodd has been included in England's squad for the final game of this year's Skinner Six Nations. It could be the fifth consecutive appearance for Rodd after coming off the bench in each of the games so far, with France next on Saturday. He'll also be joined by two of his club teammates at Sale Sharks in the form of Luke Cowan-Dickie and Tom Roebuck. However, it's been a disappointing campaign for Steve Borthwick's side, who are hoping to avoid a fourth defeat in a row, including a shock loss to Italy last weekend. France versus England will take place at the Stade de France on Saturday, the 14th of March, with kickoff at 8:10 p.m. Next, Isle of Man TT rider Nathan Harrison says he's in a good place heading into the season. In a social media post, the marksman has praised a successful 2 weeks of practice in Portugal and Spain. Harrison took the tracks in Portimão and Jerez, respectively, both of which were on the MotoGP calendar. It's the first time he's ridden his bike since the crash at Donington Park last September, during which he sustained a fractured vertebra and broken leg. And an archer from the Isle of Man became an international indoor champion last week. John Angeloni competed for Scotland in the Senior Men Freestyle Limited Compound in County Watford, Ireland, which took place from the 2nd to the 6th of March. He's been crowned International Field Archery Association European Indoor Archery Champion in the event, and also set a new Scottish record in the Flint Round. Also competing for Scotland was Rose Sandilands, who also set a new Scottish record in the Flint class and has secured 5th place in the Veteran Woman Freestyle Unlimited class. Elsewhere, Leslie Slate took a bronze medal in the Veteran Ladies Longbow class, competing for England. The competition saw over 460 archers from 21 countries compete at the Setu Arena.
Thank you, Darren, there from the sports desk, bringing you today's sports report, brought to you by the Print Shed. That's almost it from myself for update for this evening. Thank you to newsreader Amy Griffiths and all of the Manx Radio News team who provided items for tonight's programme. And you can listen back to Update. You can download it as a podcast, which is available on www.manxradio.com. And you won't find just Update there. You'll find lots of other fantastic programmes brought to you by the Manx Radio team. As I say, all available to download as a podcast. Tonight it's Countryside with Simon and Kiri. That's following immediately after this programme. And I'll be up with After Hours tonight at 10 o'clock. Until then, from myself, Dave Moore, it's goodbye for now.
This is my last will and testament. To my family, I leave years of financial headaches, large legal bills, and the prospect of having to sell our home to pay for it all.
Is that the legacy you choose to leave? Without a proper will and thorough planning, it could happen. Mann Benham Advocates, experiencing wills, probate, and estate planning, with a friendly service to make sure the future of your loved ones are secure. Don't put it off. Call 639 350 for your free initial consultation with Mann Benham. Here for you.
Geoffrey, I do love the view from our new slide and patio doors from Spectrum Windows, with trees, fields and Snaefell in the distance.
Yes, and I've got a smashing view of Madeline. What a beauty.
Geoffrey!
Don't worry. Madeline's my new prize pig. Look, she's as happy as a pig in muck.
Oh, Geoffrey, she is a pig in muck.
Improve your outlook with sliding patio doors. Visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 81777.
Pop of the Tops, brought to you by the Print Shed. At five is hospitality, a wide range of aprons, kitchen uniforms and front of house clothing unique to your business. New entry at number four is our eco-sustainable and organic ranges. At number three is workwear. Be safe, be seen and get your brand recognised. Sticking at number two, sportswear, names, numbers, sponsors, logos. We do it all. You pick the colours and we'll do the rest. And at number one is corporate wear, embroidered or printed, professional and stylish. Find us at theprintshedIOM.com, on Facebook or at Braddon Bridge Industrial Park.
Discover your dream home in Andreas with Kell Developments Limited. Their quality new build 2, 3 and 4 bedroom properties offer countryside living with amazing views just 5 minutes from Ramsey. These spacious homes are built for modern energy efficient living with ground floor underfloor heating and air source heat pumps. Plus contemporary kitchens, beautiful bathrooms, landscaped exteriors and more. Reserve yours now. Kell Developments Limited, Oatlands Road, Andreas. Island living redefined.
Manx Radio's Countryside.